We want to welcome you to Capital City Christian Church. This is going to be kind of a special worship service. We're going to be focusing on what happened in Haiti and what's coming next in Haiti as it relates to Capital City Christian Church. And so as we kind of get this thing started, I think it's fitting for us to bow our heads and let's make sure that our hearts and our minds are in the right direction. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we need to remember every week that it's really an honor to come into your presence. This service isn't about us, it's about you. We come into this place, Lord, and oftentimes we are so distracted. Busyness at home or busyness at work, frustrations or angers that linger. Maybe it's just something as little as the heat or the cold or the air or the hunger. And these little things take us away from what we're here for. We want you to be pleased this morning. We want you to be honored by what we say and what we do. And we want to take the time to focus our attention on the huge task that's before us as a church, as we try to be your people in this time. We know that with respect to Haiti, in many respects, our nation has moved on. But you haven't, and nor should we. We know that a nation has been devastated, that immediate relief has poured in, but the real slow and hard task is just beginning. We know that in that devastation, Christians and brothers and sisters were torn apart. Christians with whom we partner, with whom we've partnered for years. And this morning we ask you to give them strength. We ask you to give them courage, that they'll stand tall in a very trying time. We ask your grace upon them and your truth in their mouths. And for us, Lord, we pray that you'll give us wisdom and that you'll give us generosity. Show us where we can make a difference. For the remainder of this service, Lord, we pray that the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts will please you. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen. So we kick this thing off. We're going to be asking Jordan Hall. Jordan is one of the younger members of our team that went over to Haiti, and we've asked him just to reflect a little bit on what a difference this experience has made in his life. Jordan, would you kick it off, please?
Morning. Like Doc said, I was one of the members, one of the 15 who visited Haiti about 5 weeks ago, and they've asked me to come and just share a couple moments about how it changed my life. Just a little info on me. I'm 19 years old. I'm a sophomore at Georgetown College. The earthquake actually got me out of 3 or 4 days of school, so that was one positive thing that came out of it. But the real ways that it affected me, first of all, let me say I don't believe anybody can go to Haiti and come back without being changed, whether there's an earthquake or not. Just spending time with the people, seeing how they live, really to me how they worshiped God. I mean, I can only imagine what's going on down there this morning. Like their worship service, Haitian worship services is something you need to experience. But beyond that, and beyond the poverty and all that, there were two fundamental ways that I felt like the earthquake influenced me and changed me forever and really, just kind of woke me up to some things. The first was that it really made me see things from more of an eternal perspective, because when you're in that moment, I can still remember it just like it was yesterday. Everything, the rocks around us falling down hillsides, houses collapsing, you realize how temporary everything that we see right now is. All this is going to be gone whether we like it or not. I had a mentor in high school, a really, really godly lady who was just full of wisdom, and she would always say, there's only two things that last forever. That's people, human souls, and God's word. And, you know, it, it's amazing how often I forget that, and I forget what I should be living for, and that the next, 40, 50, 60 years, however long I live, it really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what I do to affect eternity. Where I go after this to eat, or whether I get my afternoon nap in, or if I get an A or B or C on the next test, has no effect on eternity. One chord kind of strikes is whether the UK Wildcats get their eighth national championship really has no effect on eternity. Things like that, I put way too much stock in sports and, what's going on in my life. And it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is when I walk out these doors, when I go home, how I treat my family. Like when I go back to school tonight, am I going to be an influence for Christ? Am I going to be a witness? That's what matters. How many souls can I save? How many lives can I influence? So the first thing was just how temporary this life is and what eternity is going to be like. Second of all, the thing that really affected me was an understanding of how big God is and how, just unbelievably minuscule I am in the grand scheme of things, how powerless I am. This morning, we're kicking off the series, Love God with All Your Strength. Well, the first way to do that is realize how weak we really are in perspective of God and how strong He is. I mean, He has all the power in this situation. And any time we're deceived and thinking that we have just a little bit, we're off our rocker because He's got it all. So those were the two ways that really influenced me. First of all, understanding that everything we see is temporary. There is a spiritual world. It's more real than this one. And the second was just realizing how big God is, how small we are. I think that a lot of kids my age, teenagers, college kids, think they're invincible. And, I'm guilty of that all the time. But I'm not, and I have no power. When I was standing in the water and in the ocean and felt the mountain shake around me and the water roar, I realized that, at least for a moment. And for me, the rest of my life is going to be lived trying to get back to that moment and understand I have no control. So that's how Haiti affected me. Thank you very much.
Okay. About 5 weeks ago, nearly 6 weeks ago now, January 12, 4:52, there were about 45,000 Americans in Haiti. Thousands of them were missionaries. About 15 of them were from this church family. And it's because of our partnership. We've had a many years partnership with three wonderful missions over in Haiti. A minute later, 4:53, that was changed forever. As were the lives of our team and the lives of this church, what we're doing in this church. 7.0 earthquake, that's big. They measured about 52 aftershocks measuring 4.5 or larger. Do you know that? Huge. As of February 12, about a week ago, they calculated, best estimates are somewhere between 217,000 and 230,000 dead. About 300,000 injured in Haiti. 1 million homeless. As of February 12, 97 Americans were confirmed dead. Still 2,200 unaccounted for. Many of them missionaries. 250,000 homes damaged or destroyed. 30,000 commercial buildings collapsed or severely damaged. Absolutely devastating. And here's the deal. When things like this happen, God rarely gives Christians special protection. Did you know that? Earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, famines, epidemics, we die like everyone else. In fact, sometimes because we're Christians, we die in greater numbers. It's an amazing thing because Christians tend to be out there in harm's way. You see, Haiti was struggling well before this earthquake, and so we were there by the thousands trying to make a difference, feeding people, teaching people, clothing people, trying to bring people face to face with Jesus. And when the earthquake hit, we were there in harm's way. Because, guys, that's who we are. That's what we do. I mean, Jesus prayed a prayer the night before He was going to be arrested. He prayed this prayer right before going to the cross, and He prayed to the Father these words. He says, I'm not asking You to take them out of the world. I'm asking you to keep them safe from the evil one. He says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I'm asking you to keep them safe from what? From earthquakes? From disease? From hunger? From any of the pains that come from living in a broken world? He says, I'm asking you to keep them safe from the evil one. When trouble comes, give them strength. When trouble comes, give them courage. When trouble comes, give them honor. When trouble comes, help them to stand tall as Christians, he prays. I love that about Jesus' prayer, don't you? One of my favorite prayers in the Bible is in Acts chapter 4. I mean, it's just a few weeks after Jesus had been crucified, and now the authorities are coming after the disciples. In fact, the Apostle Peter has already been thrown into prison, so the church gathers for a prayer meeting. Now imagine yourself being in that spot. You know, the authorities are coming after us. They've already thrown Sutphen into prison. You know, we're going to have a prayer meeting. At least half of you are going to want to be praying to get him out. Right? Most of us would be praying that God would protect us. You know what they prayed for? They prayed for boldness. They prayed for courage not to back down. They prayed for courage to preach Christ without fear. Listen to their prayer. They said, God, hear their threats and give us, your servants, boldness. Boldness, courage in preaching your word without fear. That's a great prayer. You see, it really isn't about what happens to us. It's about what brings honor and glory to our God. And that's what it means to love God with all your strength. Don't you think so? See, this week we're beginning this last phase of this unpacking of this first great commandment. Love God with all of your heart, love God with all of your mind, and love God with all of your strength. That means getting your hands dirty for God. We're living in a broken world, and God never promised to keep us safe from its dangers. But He did call us to be the salt of the earth. He called us to be the light of the world. He called us to make a difference. And guys, we have. It's an amazing thing. For 2,000 years, we Christians have been the ones out front making a difference. Did you know that? I'm going to tell this story in quite a bit of detail next week. It is an amazing story. I hope you come back for it. We've been the ones out front protecting the sanctity of life. We have been the ones out front elevating the status and the honor and the dignity of women. We have been the ones who started building the hospitals and bringing health care all around the world to people who can't get it. We're the ones who build the orphanages, who have fed and clothed countless more than anybody else. We've been at the forefront of education all over the world. We're the ones who have broken the chains of slavery in so many places. We've been the salt of the earth. We've been the light of the world. Science, art, music, literature, we've been the trailblazers. We Christians, did you know that? C.S. Lewis said that those who have made the biggest difference in this world are those who are living for the next. That's us. That's us. It's an amazing story, and I'm going to try to unpack that story next week because this is your heritage. More than that, it's your DNA. It's your spiritual DNA. 5 weeks ago, 15 of our people went to Haiti as representatives of this church family because we've been partnering with three missions as we're trying to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. They were there in harm's way when the quake hit, and I'm glad they were there, aren't you? Aren't you proud of them? Because they were there being who we are and doing what we do. And that's just cool. It's part of our spiritual DNA. Christians are people who try to love God with all of their heart, all of their mind, and all of their strength. With all of their strength. That means Christians are there out trying to get their hands dirty to make a difference. Doesn't it? That's what it means to be a Christian. Now, the next couple of weeks, I'm going to get a little meddling. In fact, I might get a little bit mean. I'm going to needle some people pretty hard. You see, I think loving God with all of your strength is more than words. I really do. If it's part of our spiritual DNA, where are you living it? Where is it in your life? where you're trying to love God with all of your strength? Can you put a face to it? Someone that you're loving on in the name of Jesus with all of your strength? Can you point to a date on your calendar where you're doing it? Where you're trying to love God with all your strength? Can you point to a check in your register that proves that you're trying to love God with all of your strength? Because, folks, it's got to be more than words, doesn't it? And it's got to be more than just the work of our brothers and sisters that we send as our emissaries. Every single one of us has to live it in some way. We don't have to do the same stuff. But every one of us is called to love God with all of our strength. All of our strength. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 2 weeks. Will you pray with me? Father, we're so proud of the way that Christians have tried to stand tall in this thing. And we pray that you will help us to be wise, bold, and loving, gracious over these next months and years as we try to be your hands and your feet, as we try to love you with all of our strength. I pray that every single person in this room in this next week will see that opportunity, that door that you open to love on somebody in your name. Use us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.